It's a kiss. It's a sip of wine. It's summertime. Welcome back to Off the Crossbar Podcast here, courtesy of IsleIndoor.com. And this week we're going to Minnesota through Colorado. We're going to talk with Sean Pauley, number 17 of the Colorado Mammoth, and he joins us on the podcast. Pauley, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, buddy. It's been a long time since we spoke, and it's good to hear your voice.
Aw, come on. You listen to the show all the time, though.
Well, true, but it's good to hear you and talk to you. You know, we go way back to 04, 05, 06 there, so it's good to keep in touch with old friends.
Yeah, let's start there. What made you come to Victoria when you were a back east guy playing in Ontario, and who was the sort of orchestrator to get you to come play for the Victoria Shamrocks?
I came out after my last year of junior, so I believe I was 20, just on my way to turning 21, and I just played my first year in the NLL with Arizona, and we had a game in Vancouver. It was the very last game of the Ravens. I played in that game. It was Arizona and Vancouver, and Seamus Sarkany, he was scouting for the Shamrocks, and he came up to me after the game, gave me his business card, and he had some contacts back east with one of my old coaches, Jeff Dowling.
Yeah.
And, you know, within a week, I was on the phone with him and on my way to Victoria. So it was a great experience. And, you know, I was pretty lucky we went out there. And as you know, we had three great years with some really, really good teams.
Yeah, we went to a few man cups in those days, we did. And unfortunately, we only won one of them. But what was that experience like for you? How did it sort of evolve your game as a lacrosse player?
Well, I went from being kind of a role guy, kind of an unknown. I'm from a small town of 9,000, 10,000 people back east, and you know, I wasn't a big high name, high commodity guy coming out of junior. You know, I was always, you know, top 10 to 15 in points, but you know, I was never that top guy. So to go out west, and then my first game in Victoria, I think I had a hat trick, and people were like, oh, who's this guy from the east? And, you know, I ended up, I think I was top five in scoring my rookie year in the WLA, and Lewis Ratcliffe, he had a huge year that year, and I was really able to find myself as an offensive player, and going out to Victoria with a young team that we had there, we were all just kind of finding ourselves as players, and I was able to kind of work myself in a scoring type role at that time, and it gave me a lot of confidence going back into the NLL season, and once I ended up here in Minnesota, and kind of keep getting better every year, and eventually I was able to put up 40, 50, 60 points in the NLL, and you know, I've been able to stick around for 10 years. So, but again, it goes back to those early days in Victoria, and Walt Christensen and Artie Webster, and having that young team, and letting us go out and play, and kind of, you know, create our own roles.
Your style of lacrosse is much like a lot of players nowadays. You're a grinder, you're a goal scorer, you get in the corners, and you're not afraid to muck it up. What sort of is the background of your style of play? Where did that come from?
I'm not entirely sure. You know, I was a hockey player for the most part growing up. You know, I played junior hockey in Ontario like most guys that are playing lacrosse did. So, you know, I was used to a lot of contact. You know, I kind of liked the contact. But when I got to the higher levels, the NLL, you know, I had Dan Dawson, Casey Behrens, Corey Bomberry on that Arizona team back in 04. And for me to make the team, I had to work my tail off. And, you know, I had to do a lot of those other things that, you know, I wasn't really used to before that. And I had to find my own niche into the league. And if that was setting picks and getting those guys free to do the things that they do, then so be it. And I just kind of kept working at that. And the guy I really looked at was Aaron Wilson, because we're pretty much the same size. He might be a little quicker than I am, but he always set great picks with Blaine Manning back in Toronto, and he always found a way to get open and get the ball in the net real quick. So I kind of tried to style my game after him a little bit, but I think I pick a little harder than Aaron does. But you know, he's got better hands than I do. So, but that
don't sell yourself short, man.
As a kind of a role or a kind of way to play was Willie.
Yeah, and like you said, your guy's game style is very similar, and but the one thing that you have over him is the red hair.
I think a little of that physicality that I like to play with comes directly from that. You can probably ask my brother growing up. We gave each other a lot of bloody noses, black eyes, and some old school, old fashioned brotherly love, I guess.
Yeah.
Fighting in the yard and stuff like that. But that's fine. I like it. I'm getting a little older now, and you're a little more sore after games, but that's okay. It's all part of the game.
You start your career, as you said, in Arizona. You end up getting to Minnesota with Marty O'Neill and sort of the insurgence of the Minnesota Swarm into the National Lacrosse League. We were there together when the Swarm were just starting. What was it like for you to be a guy from Wallaceburg that's, like you said, a real small town of 9,000 people, not known for anything other than just putting out, athletes here and there? To go to a place like Minnesota, a metropolis of Midwest United States, known for its hockey, known for, thousands of lakes, as they call it, but to go into St. Paul and to start something brand new, what was that like for you? And also to have such a big impact there?
For me, it was, small kid, big city.
Yeah.
And if you don't really know St. Paul, it's really not that big, but, Minneapolis is. But for me to come here, I was just like, wow, there's this whole other world out there that, I just never, I knew existed, but I never got out that much. We from small town Ontario, you don't get out too often. So to be here and start the whole Swarm from the ground up, and we had guys like Ryan Cousins, we were all young, Chad Culp. Nick Patterson, I believe, came in halfway through that year. And we played together for probably, 5, 6, 7 years. And to see this fan base grow from, you remember when we started there, Teddy, no one knew what was going on. They were just yelling and screaming. They didn't know what was going on the floor. But now they're some of the more knowledgeable fans in the league, and they're pretty hardcore. They get a solid 8,000 people every night. Who are all the same people, who now it's they're 8-10 years into this thing here, and they're pretty knowledgeable, and they know a lot of the players in the league now, where before they really didn't know, anybody.
Yeah.
But I go back to a lot of the guys. We did a lot of groundwork here those first 2-3 years. We were in schools, we were on TV, doing the radio interviews. Things like that. We'd go to the children's hospitals. We'd do all those things, and to see it grow from who are the Swarm to now, they're a name in the cities here. It's pretty special, and that's something I'll remember from my time with this organization.
You're with Colorado now. We'll talk about that move in a minute, but. Being sort of on the outside now, because you're not directly involved with the Swarm organization, are you still sort of, let's call it recognized, but are you still making a face for yourself in the community as a lacrosse player?
I was coaching a few years ago. I was coaching high school. Then I had my son, and I kind of, with playing and, working full-time on top of that, coaching had to take a bit of a back seat. Ryan Ward, he also lives in town here from the Edmonton Rush. He's a high school coach, so he stays really involved. He has a ton of camps and clinics in town. He does pretty well with those. So, you know, personally myself, I've kind of taken a step back the last few years to concentrate on my family in the summertime.
Yeah.
I plan on getting back into probably the youth. I like the 7th, 8th grade age group a little bit better than the high school kids.
Yeah.
So I plan on getting back into it. I think it's going to wait till my playing career is over. So hopefully I got a few more years left in me, before I do that. But, there are guys that have stayed here. I know Joe Sanofsky, when he was here, he was doing a lot of stuff in the community and, with some lacrosse teams, and even Colin Achenbach, who played in the league for 3-4 years. He's got a homegrown lacrosse program, which is probably the biggest camp clinic type organization in the city. So,
awesome.
You know, I think a lot of the guys that come here, they do like to give back in any way that they can.
Now, you got that trade where you get shipped from Minnesota to Colorado a few years back. How did that feel? You know, being such, you know, we talked about it, sort of a building block of that Minnesota Swarm organization. What were your thoughts going through when you got the call saying you were traded to the Mammoth?
You know, I won't lie. I was pretty upset at first.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, a lot of people, they say, you know, oh, it doesn't bother me. And yeah, I was pretty bothered by it at first. You know, I really wanted to play my whole career here. But on the other side of that, my last year or two here weren't the best for me. I really wasn't happy with some of the things that were going on. So personally, it was the best thing that happened to me. I went to Denver and reunited with Coach Hamley, and it basically, there was a weight lifted off my shoulders. I was rejuvenated, and I was happy to play lacrosse again, because the last few years here, you know, it was tough going to the rink for games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to just love being at the rink, but there was a couple of years there where, you know, it was tough. And to get traded to Denver and that great organization, and most importantly, is great group of guys in that dressing room. Like, everyone just loves each other, and I say that honestly. I don't say that just to say it. Like, it's true. There's a great group of people there. So it truly was. It was at first, like I said, you know, I was really disappointed and upset about it. But you know, once I started to talk to people, and once I really got out to Denver, you know, I was just rejuvenated, and you know, I started to play better again and started to play like I can. So it was, in the end, it was the best thing to happen to me at that time.
You talked about the knowledgeable lacrosse fan growing in Minnesota. Are there any more knowledgeable? Well, there are, but the fans in Colorado are some of the craziest fans in the league, maybe next to the Bandit fans. But what's it like playing in front of that fan base?
That's great. I've never in my life, last year we had a tough game where we got kind of blown out at home and by probably 7 goals, and we got a standing ovation for the last 2 minutes. And it was one of the loudest times I heard the arena all year. And this is during a blowout loss.
Yeah.
So those fans, they truly are. It is the loud house. I know Buffalo, they get, you know, a sellout, but I still think 15, 16,000 people in the Pepsi Center is louder than Buffalo. They're into it. And Willie B does a good job of keeping everyone into it. And luckily, thankfully, we've been pretty good the last 2 years, and played pretty well at home, so that kind of helps as well. So they're great fans. They're out for a great time, and you know, we've kind of played well and let them have a good time the last 2 years. So hopefully we keep that up. Again, we got Calgary in town, and they're the team that did it to us last year. So we definitely can't let that happen again.
That organization has, you know, evolved over the years with some players coming in and coming out, and Brian Langtry obviously retiring after last year. But, you know, where is this organization going? Are they still a perennial powerhouse in this league? Are you guys able to make that next step?
I think so. I think right now we're trying to find ourselves early here in the season, like many other teams are.
Yeah.
I think there's a little rust on offense right now, or through the first two games. You know, we show flashes of what we can be, and then we go through periods where, you know, we're kind of predictable and easy to defend. So we're trying to work that out and get better every week. Defensively, same type of thing. I thought the first game we weren't too good back there, but I thought in Calgary, I thought our defense played well and actually gave us a chance to even win that game. So, you know, it's right now I think it's more of a consistency level and just getting things right. We have a few new people that we're trying to work in as well. So just like any team right now, we're trying to get better every week. And, you know, I think last year with the majority of the guys we have, you know, we've proven that we can play well and be an elite team in this league. We just got to prove it, you know, throughout the whole year and then going into playoffs, because really that's where it matters. You know, we're not going to be happy with making it to the playoffs this year. So, you know, our goal is to win, and, you know, if that doesn't happen, we're not going to be happy. And, you know, that's from top to bottom in our organization. That's our goal this year. So I think the places are there. We just, you know, we need to be more consistent as the season progresses.
Playing with John Grant doesn't help your career stats at all, does it?
It helps a little bit, I guess. Not going to lie. You know, that's the one thing where, you know, you saw it the other night in Calgary. You know, if we get into a lull, you know, Junior's able to get us out of there or keep us close before the rest of us can, you know, kind of get our heads out of our backside. So, yeah, it's great playing with him. It's the first time I've ever got to play with, you know, a guy at the level of Junior. And, you know, the best thing about it is he's a great guy. He's a great teammate. You know, I hope people really realize that he is a great teammate, and, you know, it's fun seeing, some of the things he can do. You know, I was on the floor on the far side of the crease when he did the behind the back top cheese on, Brandon Miller last year. Yeah. And I even just looked up to the stands and just like, wow, you know, like, you know, I didn't know what to even say. We get back to the bench and we're laughing after it. We're like, you know, I don't even think of things like that.
Yeah.
And he's pulling it off in a game. So, it's definitely a lot of fun to play with him.
We're speaking with Sean Pollock of the Colorado Mammoth. You can follow him on Twitter at Pollock17. We talked about the amazingness of that Mammoth organization, and they did a pretty amazing thing for you and your family when you guys found out that Jenna had breast cancer and you guys were having to deal with the medical bills, and they all ponied up and had an auction for you guys. What did that mean to you to see an organization that you were fairly new to rally behind you and give so selflessly?
It was, you know, it was amazing. You know, when I came to the rink, we found out on a Thursday, and we had a practice in Minnesota here on a Friday. And I had called Steve, our GM, to tell him, you know, what had happened. And, you know, he said, take your time. And Jenna wanted me to beat around the guy. So I was around, and then I talked to them. I told them I told Steve to tell the guys. So, you know, they know everything that's going on. And the next day, Gavin Prout comes up to me and he's like, hey, we want to do something. Can we do something? And I'm like, you know, if you want, let me know what you want to do. And, you know, I'll talk to Jenna and see if she's okay with, you know, whatever you want to do. And a couple days later, Gavin and Steve contact me and they want to come up with this auction and do all this. And I'm just blown away. And Jenna was blown away. And it was just, you know, I never in my wildest imagination thought that, you know, they would come up with all these great prizes or items to be auctioned off.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the Mammoth. It was actually the whole NIL. It was the whole league. It was owners from all the teams sending items to be auctioned off.
Yeah.
And it was a very humbling thing to see, and especially how much they wanted to help from our organization, from the players, from even the Buffalo Bandits owner, or I guess GM, was even sending stuff in. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty humbling, and it was great to see. And it just another reminder of how great the lacrosse community is. So it was pretty nice with everybody.
How's Jenna doing? What's the latest update?
She's doing well. She's through everything, through all of her treatments. We went basically. She had her surgery in June, and then she had a little rest, and then she did her 8 rounds of chemotherapy, and then she had I think it was 32 or 34 rounds of radiation, which was almost a daily. It was 5 days in a row. So that was pretty hard on her at the end. She got pretty worn down physically and really tired. And she still has some of those symptoms, just tired, fatigued. Later on at night, 7, 8 o'clock comes around, she's pretty tired. But beyond that, she's doing all right. And we just keep going back for 3-month checkups and for the next year or two. And then it progresses to 6-month checkups up to 5 years. So it's something we're always going to have to keep an eye on and keep testing. But right now, things are looking pretty good.
How is her battle with cancer and the fight that she's put through all this? How has it sort of molded you as a person, as a father, as a husband, and as a lacrosse player?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. You know, it's really... It was a tough thing. You know, we're 30 years old and, we're going through breast cancer with a 2-year-old son at home. And, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the future holds. You just know that, you know, you got to go and battle and go through treatments and, you know, get laid up for 5 days straight and not get out of bed and, you know, having our son run around the house crazy, ragged like he would, like a 2-year-old does. And, she was pretty tough, and she did a great job. She never once complained. And, she's something. Let me tell you, she's one tough cookie, and she did a great job. And, you know, she's still doing a good job now, and she never lets on that, you know, she doesn't feel well or... She never lets on that she was in pain or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, she's pretty special, and I'm really thankful that she's a part of my life.
Well, she was a trooper putting up with us back in those days of the early Minnesota Storm when it was the Team Blackout and all the Gong Show was going on. So
yeah.
If she can deal with that, she can definitely handle this. So we're glad to hear that she's doing well and you guys are battling through this. A few more minutes with you here. We'll just do a little some fun questions to get back and wrap this up. You're a golfer. You like hitting the links. When was the last time you were out for a round?
I got out this summer a handful of times. I got to play Keller National with my father-in-law, which is here in St. Paul, and it hosted the PGA Championship back in the 60s. That place is tough. If you miss the fairways, you're in a lot of trouble. So I was in a lot of trouble that day. And then I played with my brother-in-law quite a bit, probably every other week or so. I play with him up at his home course here in northwest of the Twin Cities, and shot pretty well that day. I was up in about 82, so it's probably my personal best for 18. But wish I had more time to really get out and hit the links. I got to get back out to Victoria and play Olympic View or something like that.
Well, you always got a game with me whenever you come out here. What's your dream foursome? If you got to pick 3 playing partners for a round of golf, who would they be?
Oh, I'd have to go Wayne Gretzky for sure. Obviously, I'm a huge hockey guy.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in the 80s. I'd have to say if he's alive, Johnny Cash.
Nice.
Would be pretty cool to see him and hang out with him for a day. And then, you know, I'd probably say my dad. He doesn't golf a lot, but I don't get to see him very often. Probably a handful of times in a year. So to get to spend probably 4 hours on a golf course with him would be great.
Sean, I appreciate you doing this. You've had a pretty trying past few years, but signs are pointing to the up. I know your little boy's growing up, and you're having a lot of fun playing with him and watching him grow. And you got Jenna Bear by your side, and you guys are doing fantastic, man. Have a continued successful year, and keep going the net hard, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Nice talking to you.
Sean Pollock of the Colorado Mammoth, a true gentleman, a fantastic lacrosse player, wears his heart on his sleeve, and sometimes it comes with a little bit of blood. But that's just his game, and that's just who he is. You can follow him on Twitter, as I said, Pollock17. You can keep up to date on Jenna's progress as well. A great story, and as he said, touching tribute by the Mammoth organization, the fans, and the entire National Lacrosse League to get on board and help them with their, you know, just with the bills that they have to pay. It comes with having to do cancer treatment, and it just shows the strength and love that is the National Lacrosse League and the lacrosse family. I want to thank Sean for stopping by and having a chat with us. I want to thank you for stopping by and listening. It's another edition of the Off the Crossbar podcast here on ilindoor.com. Enjoy the games. 7 games this weekend in the National Lacrosse League. One of the busiest weekends of the entire year. So get out when you can. Spread the word. Grow the game. And remember, be excellent to each other. Never, ever, mama, never meant to hurt you. It's about time.